This is episode 708 of the AWS podcast, released on February 17, 2025.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AWS podcast. Simon Lees here with you. Great to have you back. And we are talking security today. And so I have two very special guests. Firstly, I have Rahul Sharma, who's a principal product manager here at AWS. G'day, Rahul. How are you going?
Hey, Simon. Nice to see you. Nice to meet you.
Good to have you here. And also joined by Kevin Shanley, who is the worldwide lead for identity. G'day, Kevin. How are you going?
Hey, g'day. Try my Australian.
Picking up the vernacular already. So we're talking about a topic that is super important. In fact, it's job zero. It's the first priority. It is security. And there's lots of ways to achieve security, but security needs to be baked in. And one of the things we're going to talk about that helps you do that more easily is something called Amazon Cognito. Rahul, give us the elevator pitch. What is Amazon Cognito and why would I use it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the simplest way I would describe is you can think about Cognito is an AWS service that like helps developers build like secure, scalable, and a customized sign up and sign in experiences swiftly for their applications. Like what we consistently hear from developers across our customer base is that building like a robust authentication system is hard. Like you have to like handle user management, like user data store, attribute storage, secure sign up, sign in flows, and then also protect against any malicious traffic that is coming and attacking your web interface. So this, what we consistently hear is like, it takes a lot, it's very time consuming to build your own authentication platform, requiring substantial amount of heavy lift if you build it from scratch. And this is where Amazon Cognito comes in as a managed service to really help address these challenges so that developers can focus on building the business logic for their application features rather than implementing authentication systems from scratch.
It's interesting. We already touched on our old friend undifferentiated heavy lifting. So for those of you playing the drinking game at home, you're welcome. And what it is really is that, you know, security is so important, but my goodness, it's hard to build it properly. And so if you're under pressure to build features and functions for the business, you're not going to get huge amounts of time to develop a beautiful end-to-end security flow that caters for a bunch of edge cases. And it's the edge cases that gets you. Now, this is something that also gives you, you can put your own branding on it. It has the built-in login screens and like there's a whole lot of stuff you don't have to build here, isn't it? This is kind of one of those ones you can take and plug in.
Absolutely. And we really wanted to get started with that developer getting started experience. And it begins with, well, we actually had a hard look at what we did with Cognito a year ago. And we brought in some external principal developers and said, hey, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? How do we really streamline this experience? How do we turn it from, you know, a several hours, several days, or even weeks proposition into minutes? And absolutely, so we've completely streamlined that experience. And within just a couple of clicks, you're up and running with a new multi-tenant user directory, user pool, and up and running with your first app.
So let's unpack that a little bit, because certainly the last time I jumped into the Cognito console, it had completely changed from the time before I'd done it. Even though it was my same user pool, et cetera, since I use it for one of my projects and I'd set it up a long time ago. Wow, this is all really different. Obviously, a lot of thought's gone into it. So let's talk about, from a customer standpoint, what are the things that make it easy for me now? What are the things that have changed that maybe, you know, if I looked at Cognito 2 years ago, that I'm going to be like, oh, wow, it does this now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we launched like a series of like innovations just prior to reInvent for Cognito, touching upon different themes. So maybe what I can help here, Simon, is for every listener listening in, just categorize them into like a key value proposition that we targeted and then talk about what's new and how has Cognito evolved since then. So theme number one for us was really improving time to market and agility for customers to integrate with Cognito and really get their application up and running without having to deal with like building sign up, sign in from scratch. So the first thing that we announced in this category or theme was what we call Cognito Managed Login. this is essentially like an evolution of Cognito's hosted UI, and it's really a set of new customization capabilities that helps customers create more personalized sign-up and login experiences that align more closely with their company or application branding. As part of this release, we have like a no-code UI editor with different form and elements like font, logos, backgrounds, different alignments, which can allow you like more flexibility when you're setting up your like sign-up and sign-in pages. But in addition to that, one other consistent feedback that we heard from customers in different geographies of ours was more localization support. So as part of this release, we launched like Cognito's managed login with like over 10 managed languages supported out of the box. So now that allows our customers more personalization through like languages that they have their end users logging in.
Does that mean as a developer, and I guess even as a UX person, I can sit there and just map out what I want that login experience to look like, and then it will just work that way?
Absolutely. Like you can essentially like let your imaginations like run as wild as you want, but also as you iterate and like define like what your sign up page would look like, because what we hear from our customers is sign up and sign in pages are the first pages that end users interact with for customers' application. This is the place where most of the drop offs happen in terms of user funnel. So making sure it's as intuitive is critical for like success of different customer applications. And with managed login, you now have like more customizability like supported out of the box. So this was like one of the key launches to help really reduce the time to market for customers. Kevin touched upon also like improved developer experience, which is now you can actually create your user pool just in a few minutes. All you need is provide the type of application that you're building, be it like a traditional web app, mobile app, etc. And then Cognito behind the scene has like smart defaults that'll help you get started. All you need to do is define your type of application you have, define the set of minimum like user attributes needed to sign up, and there you go. You create a user pool, and you're ready to go. So that was another.
That's a really nice sort of speed enhancement to just get up and running.
Absolutely, and it's actually very interesting, Simon. You called that out. Like as part of our launch announcement, we had like a video that went out that talked about like creating a Cognito user pool in less time it takes to brew a cup of coffee. Highly encourage listeners to check that out and actually check out our console and get started with Cognito there. But in addition, Simon, what I also wanted to call out is there are two other thematic areas that we rolled out like as part of this major Cognito overhaul. First, as I called out, was improving time to market for customers. The second critical area was for us is providing more seamless and frictionless end user login experiences to enable like end users of customers' application to log in more seamlessly and more securely as well. So now, in addition to traditional username and password based authentication, we now allow for passwordless login with passkeys, email, and SMS as first factor. So that was another. This is now supported out of the box. Customers don't have to build like custom authentication flows to enable this.
And this is becoming quite a common design pattern now. Like as I'm noticing in services I use is often like there's not a password. Like you just give your email address and away you go.
Absolutely. And if we've seen anything, it's that people are not great at creating secure passwords. Time and again, we see that even if someone does create a really secure password, it's often something they're repeating from site to site to site, or with small variations, you know, add a number at the end and increment it from site to site or as your password's expiring. One of a top vector for ingress into a customer site is via compromised password attacks where passwords are broken on the dark web and then a mass, bot attack occurs on a site just trying to get lucky. On user accounts. And so this move to passwordless, we're trying to remove that entire vector, get folks out of the business of trying to, remember things send them codes and passkeys.
And what about multi-factor authentication? That's obviously another really strong mitigant that folks use these days.
Absolutely. And this, so if we also support multi-factor authentication across different factors as well, Simon. So we have SMS and time-based OTP as what we already supported from before. We also announced support for email-based multi-factor authentication sometime in third quarter of last year, around late second quarter, third quarter of last year. So this allows for, like, say, more options for customers. And what's interesting is, like, this was a very good segue for second factor authentication, because typically what we hear customers do is, like, when they detect any kind of suspicious traffic, today Cognito's threat protection capabilities, like, provide you risk scoring. And based on the risk scores that is ascribed, customers have the option to configure either blocking that sign-in attempt or actually optionally stepping up and, like, having second factor authentication. And the other thing that we, and this is where I want to tie in with, like, what we launched as well, announced, is what we consistently heard from customers was that our threat protection capabilities have historically been more expensive. So what we have done through this announcement prior to reInvent was the launch of a new feature tier called Cognito Plus, which essentially has all these threat protection capabilities Cognito offered from before, like compromised credentials detection that Kevin called out, risk-based adaptive authentication, etc., at a price point which is up to 60% lower from a monthly bill savings standpoint. So basically, and in addition, we also support passwordless login as well as this new managed login, all in this Cognito Plus tier as well.
All of it. That's a great bit of. I'm sure that, you know, both of you and Kevin in particular, as you're sort of talking to customers around the world, you're hearing what the problem is, and people don't want to have to be charged for security. They want to be able to get the best out of security. And I guess it's interesting you talked about the compromise and the pattern matching and those types of things. Let's talk a bit more about that, because, you know, if you take a naive view of security for an application, it's like, well, you provide a password and you log in and you get on with your day. And so as developers, we don't spend a lot of time on that stuff. But there be dragons in that very phase there. Can you unpack for us the types of things we're mitigating against and the types of attacks that folks are likely to see that this type of capability helps with?
Absolutely. And you know, whenever we're talking in terms of a customer site, we also have to address the issue of friction. You know, the more times, the more sort of roadblocks we set up on a customer site, the more you're going to have drop-off, right? If it'll be great from a security perspective to have everyone sign in with three factors of authentication and hardware tokens and everything. The customers won't put up with
it. I ain't doing that.
And so really, we start there. And on the Plus tier, we do device profiling, and we have a construct of adaptive authentication so that we can actually pick up, you know, how you've authenticated, how you've strongly authenticated, and based on various different risk parameters, you know, going from your device changing to even like impossible travel conditions where I log in one city and then I log in 5 minutes later from another city, that we're picking up, you know, changes in your risk and then adaptively deciding, hey, let's step up that authentication and go to a higher level with multi-factor authentication. And so that's also included at that Plus tier as well. Really just trying to continually push the bar to lower that friction, raise security.
I think that adaptability is really important too, because if you think about it from a provider perspective, so someone building an application for their customers, like you say, they want an easy experience, but they also don't want their customers being hacked. Also, they don't want to have to carry the burden of if customers are being compromised, and then they've got to start doing fixes and help and resets, etc. It's like the old thing, you know, probably the most revolutionary thing that ever happened in IT was the self-service password reset. So you know, this is kind of that next level of saying, well, you know, we can predictively protect you as a user against the miscreants that are out there, which is, I think, really, really important. What else? What else have you been working on? What else have you been hearing to make it better, easier, and more secure?
Well, certainly you hit upon one of those components with the self-service password reset. You know, as much as we're seeing the industry at large move towards passwordless type mechanisms, Everyone still uses passwords. They're still absolutely, you know, just about everywhere. And so how do we secure that? You know, okay, we can instruct customers, well, make it complex, make it a certain length, make it have some, you know, characters, some special characters in it. All these things are great. But if you've had a secure password that's been compromised at another site and is downloadable in the dark web, well, that's a problem. And so we've actually have this massive compromised credentials database that every time you sign in, change your password, we're able to actually validate that you're not using a password that's already been broken. So kind of proactively and preemptively going about trying to secure those passwords that are out there.
And talk to us about, I guess, you know, you've got different scales of applications and application providers. You've got sort of the smaller players, you've got large ones, you've got SaaS providers, et cetera. Help us understand about, I guess, you know, multi-tenancy, tenant isolation. How does that play out in this construct?
So, you know, across Cognito, we really have four top-level use cases. Core customer identity access management, machine-to-machine authentication, using our credentials broker to go in via user pools into AWS. And then a very important one is B2B multi-tenant SaaS customers. And so Cognito was built from the ground up having a multi-tenant user directory, which we lovingly call user pools. And at creation, we can go and create as many of these user pools as you see fit to cover all your tenancy operations. But it goes even beyond that. We actually have five different layers of multi-tenancy built into Cognito, depending on if you want to kind of move the needle and change how much you want to segregate every customer tenant, enforce tenant isolation, or if you want to actually be able to do things like share policies, write a policy once and have 20,000 multi-tenant customers be able to use that same policy. And so depending on, you know, what sort of your architecture is, or if you need to enforce things like, you know, tenant isolation, you know, enforce against a noisy neighbor problem, to be able to really hit a whole lot of different use cases.
Nice. So you have that choice. I guess the other thing I wanted to dive into is, obviously, we're talking about, you know, the fact that this is pre-built. You can just use the flows. You can go on there. But what if I'm special? What if I need a custom flow or something different? How hard is that for me to do?
So actually, within Cognito, there are a variety of ways of doing custom, different customizations. At its heart, Cognito is really just, it's a whole set of APIs that allows you to log in. We have a number of different SDKs. We're built into the Amplify framework. We're like the authentication provider that is actually backends Amplify. We have a cloud identity SDK as well, a whole set of SDK frameworks that allow you to run front-end authentication, also as well as an admin SDK that allows you to do a lot of those same things from the backend side as well. So you can create entirely custom authentication flows based on those components. And then in addition, built into the core Cognito authentication framework, we have a series of login and registration extensions. These are sort of our sign up and sign in Lambda extension hooks. And because they're Lambdas, you can actually use those to even do AWS step functions. And so create a full orchestration layer that will change, or give you different options based on your authentication flow.
That's amazing. So with that, particularly, I guess, with that Lambda, you know, flow and the triggers, et cetera, you can do what you need. Because sometimes people have really esoteric or arcane requirements about how they do their checking. They may need to go to a third-party system, an internal system, et cetera. So you can. You don't have to be just all cloud native.
Yeah. And in addition to what Kevin also called out, what's also interesting is, like, while you build out your custom authentication flows, like on top of like the APIs and SDKs we offer, like our threat protection capability also helps you detect risks with based on like custom authentication flows as well.
And that, I think that's really interesting, that reporting side of things. Maybe let's unpack that a little more, because this is not just a login system, but it's giving insight into the customer experience and when customers log in and all that stuff. What sort of data do I pull from that is useful for me?
So one of the actually recent features we just launched is event log streaming with with Amazon Cognito. And so what this gets you is previously, you know, of course, we had our normal CloudTrail logs, CloudWatch logs, and those capabilities. But what if you wanted to go kind of that step deeper and see, well, you know, what's actually happening on the login events? What types of devices or locations is someone coming from? And how do I actually correlate that data against all my application data, which is, you know, it's on different systems. It's across all sorts of different types of servers and systems across AWS. And so we actually, with log streaming, you're able to take our events and actually stream them out to Kinesis Firehose or even just to an S3 bucket so you can collate and correlate all these findings and then say, oh, here I see this user has logged in here and then he accessed applications across the framework and, oh, something's changed over here. So then it gives you that really in-depth insight into how someone is actually able to traverse their session.
That's really interesting. So you're getting far more detail of what's happening, which is, I think, really powerful in terms of just that user experience piece, as well as obviously security, identifying trends and patterns and other things like that. What else do you think thematically we should keep an eye out for? Where's the focus from the team? What are they looking at? What are they hearing from customers? What are they thinking about in the coming month?
Ooh. Well, unfortunately, I can't go into roadmap. I can't go into roadmap details. But in terms of signals that I'm hearing back from customers, you know, everyone is really very concerned about how levels of you know, attacks and fraud and protecting your customer data. This has been you know, really regular feedback we hear from the industry at large, and in various different types of scenarios, things you'd never really think of. It's certainly top of the mind of our customers that serve their customers.
Just make that easier. So if I want to get started, let's say, let's maybe take two use cases. Let's say I'm starting from scratch, I'm building a new app. How would I use Cognito? Or I've got an existing app using some form of authentication, could be homegrown, could be third party. How do I choose to use Cognito? Help it walk us through those two cases.
Okay. So if you're writing your own app, and let's say it's going to be a single page app on the React framework, well, that's actually how we start as well when you go to create your first user pool or multi-tenant user directory. Before, we used to actually ask you a whole, you know, slew of questions and you had to kind of figure a lot of things out yourself. Now we start with that. What type of app do you want to create? And based on that, we will then intelligently, with just a couple of questions, you know, ask you, hey, what are those required attributes we want to capture as a part of this user registration process? Is it just email, or do you want to catch mobile number or some of these different things? And then you click next, and you're literally off to the races at this point. You actually have then your multi-tenant user pool built up. And then it drops you into a screen where it has different code frameworks like React, maybe it's Python or some framework for like an iPhone or Android, and with the code pre-built for you so that you can just do like an npm install, you know, import a framework. It shows you the code to copy and paste into the framework so that you have single sign-on into this new app that you're going to be developing. And you're up and running. You've got a login page. You've got registration capabilities. It's all actually right there at that point.
That's pretty cool. So it's sort of like follow the bouncing ball to some extent, and batteries included. So that's the you know, I've got a bright idea. I want to get my login page up and running, which is good. You should start with that. Start with security. Don't end with security. But what about if I've got something a little long in the tooth, maybe. It's been around for a while. Maybe I rolled my own auth because that's what you did in those days. It was just cheaper or whatever. How do I think about converting or migrating?
Okay. Oh, go ahead, Rule.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have various options here to like how if you want to migrate over and like port over from your own authentication systems and actually move over to Cognito. We have something called like just-in-time migration, which is also like very popular that we have heard with customers. What it really translates is that like if you have like end users like logging into your application, like say one by one, all those new logins can essentially like say be ported over to Cognito user pools. And then at the end of like all the active users logging in, you have the option to like essentially do a bulk user upload for like those users that are not active, and then essentially migrate them over to Cognito. So we typically like see this as like a fairly popular model from a lot of our customers like who are migrating. Then the other option is doing like a one-time, like say bulk upload of like all your users. The challenge with that is like essentially you would essentially force like your users to do a password reset, which can be like not the best customer experience or like end user experience. We end up seeing a lot of our users or customers doing a combination of just in time and bulk up, just in time for active users, and then bulk upload for users that are not active.
That makes sense, because I guess you're never going to coordinate everyone to do it at the same time. That's for sure.
And I think what's really interesting there too is, as you heard from Rahul, the long pole in the tent is actually going to be passwords. They could have some proprietary hashing or encryption, just some way you're never going to get that out of the source system. But where we see the game changing is passwordless. If you no longer need to migrate these passwords and everything's in just a phone number and email address, well, suddenly that migration is kind of it's almost instantaneous. There's a lot you can do on that front.
That's pretty cool. And one other use case I want to talk about. So I mentioned that I've used Cognito for a long time, but I haven't touched it for a long time, which is good because I haven't needed to. But also, so if I've created my Cognito user pool years ago now, do I get access to these new goodies, or do I have to do anything to be able to take advantage of that?
So it's you. So you only thing that you need to change, Simon, is you'll have to just change your user pool settings or like the feature tier that you need to select. So all the new features that we announced are part of a new Cognito feature tier called Cognito Essentials that basically encapsulates all the set of like core authentication capabilities to get you off the ground. And Plus, which I touched upon a little earlier for users, essentially takes all our threat protection capability and adds all the features that are there in Essentials, which is passwordless login experiences, new hosted UI in the form of managed login. The only thing that you need to do, it's very simple to actually switch to the new tiers and switch back and forth depending upon your like use case requirements. You can do it either in just a few clicks on the console. You can look at your on the left panel, you'll have a settings page, and you can like look and compare different features for different tiers and just decide to upgrade or downgrade to a different tier. Or you can do it programmatically using like our CLI by calling update user pool API, and we now have a new parameter called user pool tier. You can configure your tier to be either Essentials or Plus and take advantage of these new features, or infrastructure as code is another popular way where a lot of our customers end up like say deploying and like managing their Cognito user pool. So for example, if you're using CloudFormation, the Cognito user pool resource type has a new parameter for user pool tier. You can set that configuration to Essentials or Plus and essentially update your CloudFormation deployment to have your user pool with these new tiers. Once you do that, you're entitled to all these new capabilities that were previously not available to our customers.
Fantastic. Nothing better than an in-place upgrade. Makes it much simpler. So it sounds like if you haven't looked at Cognito for a while, you should. And if you've got that sort of little lingering itch in the back of your head going, not sure my login page is that good, or I'm not sure if I'm mitigating against all the things I could or should be, or I'm not providing my customers with a great login experience, this is definitely something worth having a look at. Rahul, thanks so much for coming on the show and explaining a bit more about it for us.
Thank you. Thanks, Simon, for having us.
And Kevin, thanks so much for coming on board and demystifying some of the stuff that goes out there on the scary web.
It was great to be here. Thank you, Sam.
And we do love to get your feedback. AWSpodcast@amazon.com is the place to do it. And until next time, keep on building.